I go back and start pick up our studies through the book of the Gospel of Luke. So would you turn to the 18th chapter, please? I'm going to deal with Jesus healing a man called Bartimaeus. That name doesn't appear in our text, but over in Matthew and Mark, we find his name. So it's Bartimaeus. Look at verse 35. I'll pick up the reading. And then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well." And the man received the sight and following him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. I picked this up off the internet as an introduction. Stevie Wonder is a black singer, but he's blind. I like to listen to him sing. And Stevie Wonder and Jack Nicklaus, the great golfer, are sitting around the pool talking. And invariably, the conversation turns to golf. And Nicklaus is surprised to find out that Stevie Wonder, as I said, who was blind, had been playing golf for years. The golf pro couldn't believe it. He wanted some details, so Stevie Wonder explains how he does it. "My caddy stands out in the middle of the fairway and calls out to me. I listen for the sound of his voice and play the ball towards him. Then when I get to where the ball lands, the caddy moves further down the green, shouts, and I hit the ball again. Nicklaus is obviously impressed, but then asks, 'Well, how do you putt?' The famous singer replies, 'Well, I get my caddy to lean down in front of the hole and call to me with his voice on the ground with his mouth just over the cup. I just play the ball towards his voice.'" Nicklaus finds this all very amazing and then asks Stevie Wonder if they can play around sometime together. Stevie agrees, but he says because people don't take him very seriously, he only plays for money, and he wanted to play for $10,000 a hole. Nicklaus thinks that's about minutes and says, "Oh, that's serious money. But I'm up to it. When do we play?" Stevie Wonder answers, "You name the night." Your outline shows us how I want to try to approach our text this morning. We see the circumstances that brought about the meeting of Jesus and blind Bartimaeus. We see the noise of the passing crowd that aroused the curiosity of blind Bartimaeus. Determination of blind Bartimaeus to capture the attention of Jesus. The response of Jesus to the continuous urgent cry. And the results of this encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus. First of all, the circumstances that brought about the meeting between Jesus and blind Bartimaeus. Jesus had been journeying toward his final goal. Jerusalem was now near the end, as Jerusalem was about 15 miles southwest of Jericho. He crossed the Jordan River from Perea into Judea, and on the road passed through Jericho, and was about 700 feet below sea level. Jericho is 700 feet below sea level. And his last stop was Jerusalem, which is 3,300 feet above sea level. Now, we were on that road when we were in Israel. And Dave Allen was telling us that it's because it's so hot and it's such a steep incline going up from Jericho to Jerusalem. A lot of the college students tried to make that walk and they had convulsions, and it's very difficult. It's a very difficult road. Every day was the same for blind Bartimaeus. In his darkened world, he would get up, grope around for a crust of bread, then take his staff and tap his way from his shack out to the normal spot. When he heard people passing by, he would cry out, "Alms for the blind, alms for the blind." Somehow he eked out enough to survive. Bartimaeus was sitting on the roads that led into Jericho. Beggars always had certain spots out where the traffic is more frequent and where, for some reason, there seems to be more generosity expressed, because it's outside the temple. He could not see, so his begging would have been triggered by what he heard. Footsteps, the sounds of people passing by. The blind man would have heard Jesus approaching Jericho. He had heard the sounds of the crowd from some distance. Bartimaeus knew about Jesus because of what he had heard. He sat along the street. You can imagine how the rumor would circulate about Jesus among the sick and the infirm, especially concerned the miracles of healing. Bartimaeus began to call out to Jesus. He wanted healing, and he believed Jesus was both able and willing. He did not call Jesus by the name that was told him, Jesus of Nazareth, but rather by the name which identified him far more accurately, Jesus, Son of David. The blind man may have had a physical handicap of blindness, but he knew that Jesus was more than a man. He was the Messiah. Thus Bartimaeus called to Jesus as Messiah, for he could heal the sick and give sight to the blind. Bartimaeus pleaded for one thing which touches the heart of a righteous God dealt toward an undeserving sinner: mercy. He wanted mercy. He didn't deserve mercy, but he begged for mercy. Secondly, we see the noise of the passing crowd aroused by the curiosity of the blind. But today seemed to be different than other days. A larger than usual crowd was making their way past Bartimaeus, and when he asked what was happening, he was told, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Look at verse 36. "And it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant." Bartimaeus instantly thought, "Jesus of Nazareth, he's not just Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Son of David, the Messiah." And his marvelous teaching and how he healed the sick. I've heard that he opened the eyes of a man born blind. Then we see the determination of blind Bartimaeus to capture the attention of Jesus. Bartimaeus was so intent upon calling to Jesus in order that he might be healed of his blindness, so he kept on crying out to Jesus, even though the people around him were telling him to shut up. Look at verse 38. "And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' And those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy upon me.'" He knew this was his window of opportunity. Jesus was passing by. Soon he'd be gone, never to pass that way again. He was going up to Jerusalem to be crucified. Jesus knew that. He began to shout at the top of his lungs, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And again, they would say, "Shut up, old man. We can't hear what Jesus is saying." Those who led the way, people in charge, were sternly telling him to be quiet. but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He knew this was his only opportunity. This is desperate faith. This is stuff that God desires. The man would not be browbeaten back. He would not have his passion crushed. He would not be silenced. He shouted even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." The one who was leading, "Tell the beggar to be quiet. The master has more important things to attend to." But Bartimaeus would not be silenced. This was his only chance, and he wasn't going to miss it. By the way, the phrase "called out" literally means to scream. We're talking about real yelling, very strong words. He's crying at the top of his voice. When Jesus, Bartimaeus was calling out to Jesus, he was calling Jesus by the title that was reserved for the Master himself, Messiah himself. He was calling him Son of David. There are several places in the Old Testament where it was prophesied that the Messiah would be a descendant of King David and sit upon David's throne. Let me quote some verses for you. This is a long one, but it's from 2 Samuel 7:11-16. "Even from the day that I command judges to be over my people Israel, I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also declares that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lay down with your fathers, I'll raise up your descendants after you and shall come forth from you, and I'll establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be a father to him, and he'll be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took away from Saul when I removed him before you. Your house shall be, your kingdom shall endure forever. Your throne shall be established forever." So he knew this Jesus was that Son of David. And that's the text that we're all very familiar with, Isaiah 9:6-7. "For a child shall be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Then one more, Isaiah 11:1-4. "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will judge by what he sees. He will not judge by what he sees, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness and justice the poor, and decide with fairness of the afflicted of the earth. Behold, the days are coming," Jeremiah says, "when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will raise this king and act wisely and do justice and righteously in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, Israel will be dwelt securely, and this is his name, which will be called the Lord our righteousness." So he seemed to know something about that. That's why he's referring to him as Son of David. Now, these people that were going along with all of this had little compassion for blind Bartimaeus. And like most in Israel, they probably believed that the man's sin brought on the blindness. They thought Bartimaeus was wasting Jesus' time crying out to him. But as believers, we ought to be more like Bartimaeus in seeking Jesus. We should desire more than anything in this life that we should spend time with Jesus, hear his voice, and have us as the object of our thoughts and affections. We should not let anything deter us from being with Jesus. Somehow, in some way, the truth had come home to his heart, and he embraced it and refused to be beaten back into silence. His faith has frankly risen to the full height of possibility. He believed everything there was to believe, that he was the king, he was the one he needed, and the only one who could give him mercy. His heart had seen the light before his eyes ever did. So we see the beggar's sad plight. Notice response of Jesus to the continuous urgent cry of blind Bartimaeus. Jesus stops and commands Bartimaeus be brought to him. Look at 40 and 41. Then Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Even though some in the crowd tried to shut him up, others showed compassion. Over in Mark, it says they called the blind man and said to him, take courage, cheer up, rise, he's calling for you. That's pretty significant. Can you imagine the joy in Bartimaeus' heart when he knew that Jesus was calling for him to come? This is faith that says, I don't think I have any use anymore for the stuff as he laid aside his garment. Notice Jesus asked Bartimaeus a specific question. Verse 41, what do you want me to do for you? We see for another thing in this passage an encouragement instance of Christ's kindness and compassion. We are told when the blind man continued crying for mercy for the Lord, he stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. He was going up to Jerusalem to die and had weightier matters on his mind. But he found time to stop to speak kindly to this poor sufferer. In doing so, Jesus asked him a specific question. What do you want me to do for you? You're calling out, Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? That's an interesting question to ask a blind man, but Jesus never asked a dumb question. His question was designed to get Bartimaeus to be specific and stating his need in front of the crowd. Never to go back on his words. He who comes to me, I will never cast out. John 6:37. Bartimaeus gives a specific answer. Look at verse 42. Lord, I want to receive my sight. The response also confessed that he believed that Jesus had the power to give him a sight. Be specific. That's what we ought to do. Tell the Lord we have sinned and maybe even name the sins that we want him to forgive. He will say, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. Just as Bartimaeus had his opportune moment to cry out to Jesus, and then he would be gone. So it is with some of you who are here today and may not be saved. Today is the day of salvation. You may not have tomorrow. Today you're hearing the word of God about a Savior who invites you to come to him for mercy. Jesus is passing by. He may never pass this way again. He's the only one with the power to open the eyes of him who is blind. Call out to him while he is near. Passages like these of the gospel are intended to bring special comfort of all who feel their sins and come to Christ for peace with God. Such people may be sensible of much infirmity in all their approaches to the Son of God. He's never too busy to hear our cry. David said, O you who hears prayer. Their faith may be very feeble. Sins may be many and great. Their prayers may be very poor and stumbling. Their motives may be far short of perfection. But after all, they really come to Christ with their sins. Are they really willing to forsake all other trusts and commit their souls to Christ's hands? If this is so, then they may hope and not be afraid. The same Jesus still lives who heard the blind man's cry and granted his request. He will hear your cry. And when you cry out forgiveness, he will always respond in grace and mercy. Now, lastly, we see the results of the encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus. Jesus merely speaks the words and heals his blindness. This is amazing. I mean, it's hard for us to grasp the power of God and the power of the Lord Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight." And right away he can see. He merely speaks the words. What a powerful Christ he is. What a powerful God we have. He also commends him for his faith. Your faith has made you well. Notice the response to Bartimaeus to being healed in verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. As soon as Bartimaeus gained his sight, he could have said, "Thank you, Jesus. I feel much better now. I'm going to take off and enjoy life and have all the fun I've been missing ever since I've been blind." But if you look at the text, that's not what happened. Immediately he began following Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people who saw what had happened gave praise to God. The mark of true faith in Jesus Christ is that the person who got saved gives glory to God and begins a new life of following Jesus, which others are led to give praise to God. One reason Bartimaeus' faith was so bold was that he felt so keenly his deep need. He lived each day in total darkness. Those who could see did not feel the desperation that Bartimaeus felt. None of us could. None of us know what it's like to be blind. He could walk out in the bright sunshine and it was pitch black for him. Here's another thing I picked up off the internet. Bill Cosby tells us how he was staying in the room with the blind singer Ray Charles. He decided to stop at Ray's room and say hello. He knocked on the door and Ray yelled, "Come in." Cosby walked in and heard Ray's electric razor going in the bathroom. But the lights were all off and the entire place was pitch black. Before thinking, Cosby blurted out, "Hey, Ray, why are you shaving in the dark?" Then it hit him. He thought, "Dumb, dumb, dumb." Ray good-naturedly called back, "I do everything in the dark, brother." It's when we realize our true spiritual condition that we will sense our desperate need of Jesus Christ. Deliverance by man is in vain. We need deliverance by God, and so we must cast ourselves totally on him. As we mentioned from the beginning, the very first of Christ's miracles, each of them draws a picture of how Jesus heals our sin problems. In the case of Bartimaeus being healed from blindness, when a person comes to salvation, the blinders are taken off. And he begins to see things as they really are and to understand spiritual truth and the spiritual realities that lie behind all that happens in life. Truly, all who have come to salvation through Jesus can say in honesty that once they were blind, but now they can see. Let's desire to seek the Lord every bit as much as blind Bartimaeus. Let's call out to Jesus in our time of need. For whatever we do, do when we see that he will likewise have compassion upon us and we receive of his mercy. Here's one of my favorite texts for invitation from the Old Testament. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he was near. And let the Lord return to, may have mercy. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Praise God for the grace and mercy that he gives us. Let's close by looking at a text, as if I can find it in 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4. Look at verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Here's one of the reasons why we're spiritually blind. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of the God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying the same God back in Genesis said, let there be light. Spiritually, he says to us, let there be light, and our eyes are open. The veil is taken away, and we're able to see that we need Christ. We're able to see that we are sinners, and we are able to respond and cry out to the Lord for salvation. Let's praise his name for his grace to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time together. Thank you for all your grace and mercy. Thank you for helping us through this day. Thank you for the sunshine. Protect us as we go home. Bring us back tonight, we pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful God you are, that you can just say, receive your sight. And a man who was blind, we don't know whether he's born blind, but we know he was blind at the time. He merely speaks the word, and he could receive his sight. Oh, Lord, thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for calling light out of darkness in our hearts so that we could see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.